Scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. This is the word of the Lord. This morning we're beginning a new sermon series in the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul around 61 A.D., while he was imprisoned in Rome. And what makes this letter unique, as opposed to some of the other letters in the New Testament, is that this letter really wasn't addressing a specific issue within the church. Many of the New Testament letters were addressing some disunity or some heresy or different things that were anti-gospel in the church. But this letter doesn't necessarily focus on that. This letter was circulated in order to encourage the believers in their faith and equip them to just continue to grow together as the church. And as you see in the first part of this chapter, the letter was meant for the church in Ephesus, but also for the surrounding churches as well. It was meant to be a circular letter that was to make its way around to the different churches. And this letter is also meant for this church in Augusta, Georgia as well, because it is the Word of God. Paul begins the letter in a familiar way by introducing himself, by identifying his audience, and then extending a greeting. And you see that in verses 1 and 2 when he writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. Now, when he says the saints, don't think, these very pious individuals, but rather he's talking about you who are in Christ. That's who he is referring to when he says to the saints, those who are in Christ, who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So after Paul's greeting, he's going to launch into this long sentence of praise, which flows from verse 3 all the way through verse 14. And so before we dive into those verses, I wanted you to think about something. Some of you have been involved in the process of adoption. Maybe you were adopted, or maybe you helped someone else adopt a child, or maybe you've adopted a child. And I recently read a very moving story about a young woman named Michaela DePrince. Michaela was born in Sierra Leone, and when she was just 3 years old, her father was killed by rebels, and her mother starved to death shortly after. Her uncle placed her in a nearby orphanage, hoping that a good family would adopt her. Even at the young age of three, she recounts this in an article, an interview. She remembers being called the devil's child and being ill-treated by the caregivers there in the orphanage because she had vitiligo, which is a skin condition that causes blotches of lightening skin. And so while in the orphanage, Michaela also remembers the caregivers ranking the kids from most favorable to least favorable. And she remembers being ranked 27th out of 27 children, which means she received the last of everything, food, toys, whatever it may be. But then her life dramatically changed in 1999 when she was just 4 years old. A couple from New Jersey did everything necessary to adopt Michaela into their family. So out of all the children of the world, they chose her. And they brought her home and they cared for her and helped her become the person she is today. And now today, at the age of 17, Michaela is one of ballet dancing's rising stars. So as I was reading this article and I was thinking about this passage, I began to think about Michaela, and I thought of, you know, when she thinks back to those days in the orphanage that she clearly remembers, when she thinks back to those days in the orphanage and she reflects on the act of love that this couple from New Jersey extended to her to bring her into their family, I mean, what does she feel? What does she experience? And I was thinking, surely she's experiencing gratitude, right? I mean, she's experiencing blessing, that she's been blessed by having this loving couple embrace her and bring her into their family. And as I was reading this passage in Ephesians 1, I think about how much more should we be in awe as we reflect on our own adoption and how God went to great lengths to bring us to Himself. All that God has done for us. And as you reflect on the gospel and what God has actually done for us to bring us into His family, this is what just compelled Paul to pen the sentences and the words listed in verses 3 through 14. He's overcome with thankfulness for what God has done. And as a result, he wants to bless God with praise. And this is why he writes in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So Paul's reflecting on what God has done for us in Christ, and this leads him to bless God with praise. And he continues to praise God throughout the following verses. And he blesses God, if you read through this passage, you recognize that he blesses God with praise for three main reasons. The first reason is that we've been chosen by the Father. The second is that we've been redeemed by the Son. And the third is that we've been sealed with the Spirit. So let's look at each of these one by one. First, he says we should bless God with praise because we've been chosen by the Father. Look at verses 4 through 6. Paul writes, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." So just like this couple from New Jersey did everything necessary to bring Michaela into their family, you know, God has done everything necessary to bring you and me into his family. And what you need to see here, and this is what Paul's emphasizing, is that God is always the initiator in salvation. He is always the one who takes the first step. So when you think about Michaela's situation, and you think about this couple from New Jersey, you see that this couple from New Jersey, they were the initiators. Michaela wasn't the initiator. They were the initiators to reach out to her and do everything necessary to bring her into their family. And in the same way, God is the initiator to bring us into his family. And as we think about that couple from New Jersey, even as I was reading the story, I could tell when I talked about them bringing her into their family, many of you began to smile. Because you know, you just want to, you know, almost thank them if you saw them. You know, thank you for extending such great love and care and goodness to this little girl. So in essence, you wanted to praise them for what they've done. And this is exactly what Paul's doing. He's thinking back on his own adoption in Christ, knowing that God is the initiator. God has done everything necessary to bring you and me into his family. He's thinking about all of this, and he is just thankful. He's praising God for what God has done, that God chose him before the foundation of the world. God chose Paul before Paul chose God. And the same is true with you and me. The Apostle John said it this way: we love Because God first loved us. This is the kind of God He is. He's a God of love. He's a God of initiation. And Paul's saying that before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ. He predestined us for adoption to Himself through Jesus. Before the foundation of the world. Charles Spurgeon said this. Listen to what he said. He said, God certainly must have chosen me before I came into this world, or He never would have done so afterwards. Right? Because God's choosing is not based on how good we are. You know, we can never earn our way to God. God sets His affection on us because He chooses to. Because He loves us. That's why He did all that was necessary to bring us into His family. Not because we deserved it. Not because we earned it. But it's just because of the God He is. He is a God of love that wants to bring us into His family. God extends grace to us because He loves us. And you need to realize it's not because of what you do. You don't earn God's love. You can't maintain God's love for you. He sets His love upon you because of who He is. And that's why He extends grace to us and gives us the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus. So if you're in Christ, then you should join with Paul in blessing God the Father with praise because He chose you before the foundation of the world. The second reason that Paul blesses God with praise is because we've been redeemed by the Son. Look at verses 7 through 12. Paul writes, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. And so, when Paul's readers were hearing this, they were very familiar with this concept of redemption. You know, it's a marketplace term that was used to communicate the idea of you're buying something back, whether it's a product or even a person that would otherwise be lost or taken prisoner or destroyed. And so, if you take that into our situation, you need to think of it like this. You know, we were unable to live out who God designed us to be because of sin. I mean, sin was holding us bondage. We were unable to become who God wants us to be. And therefore, we needed to be redeemed. We needed to be freed from this tyranny, this power. And so that's why Jesus came, to free us and enable us to become who God wants us to be. And this is defined as redemption. Just as Michaela's parents from New Jersey did everything necessary. They went through all the paperwork. They paid all the money. And as you know, adoption's not cheap, especially international adoption. They went through all the hoops, did everything necessary to redeem her, to bring her out of that situation and into their family. And in a greater way, God has done everything necessary for you and me to be redeemed, to be forgiven of our sin, and to be free to live for Him. And Paul tells us that God has done this through Jesus Christ. He tells us it's through the blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven. It's through the sacrifice of Christ for you and I that we have inheritance, this inheritance that He gives us. And so we belong to God and we'll be with God forever. Now this is what is interesting to me. We sang this hymn earlier and we were singing about when we asked Jesus into our heart. But what's interesting in this passage is how Paul describes those who have faith in Jesus. Did you pick up on it? He says that we are in Christ. It's repeated throughout this passage. We are in Christ. And I love this because it helps me understand my identity. Think about it. Okay. When we say, in another place of the scripture too, you know, it talks about Christ being in us. And we've read passages like that where it talks about Christ being in us. We just sang the hymn when we ask Christ to come into our heart. So that is a biblical idea of Christ coming to live within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is true. But just think about how Paul describes it here, being in Christ, helps us to understand our identity. When we ask Christ to come into our lives, we can tend to think of Jesus as a part of us. You know, when I ask Christ into my life, that He's one part of me, and I have all these other parts too. But when you think of yourself as being in Christ, now you are the part and He is the whole. I mean, you are in Christ. Think about that. And that's how Paul explains those who have placed their faith in Jesus. Our identity, who we are, is all wrapped up in who He is. We are in Christ. So the question for you is, are you in Christ? Because you're either in Christ or outside of Christ, right? You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. So let me ask you this. Are you in this church building now? Or are you outside the church building? Well, we're inside because we're not baking hot. We're singing about sunshine earlier. I was thinking, hey, praise the Lord for the sunshine. Especially for you children. I know you're thinking, okay, the bouncy obstacle course, inflatable outside. We don't need it raining. But sunshine is definitely hot. So we're in here in the air condition. Okay, so you are in the building. You're not outside the building. Well, how'd you get in here? I hope you know you're inside the building. How'd you get in here? Well, you walked through the door, right? You came from the outside and you walked through the door to come into this inside of this church building. So, in a similar way, Jesus says, I'm the door. And the way that we come into a relationship with God is we come through Christ and then we remain in Christ by faith. We are in Christ. And so we do that by making a decision. Just like you made a decision to walk through the door and have a seat, we make a decision to trust Jesus with our lives. And so the question is, are you in Christ? You're this redemption, Paul's just thinking about it. I'm in Christ and I'm just reflecting on what Christ has done for me. And this redemption causes Paul to bless God with praise. And the third reason Paul blesses God with praise is because we've been sealed by the Spirit. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Paul writes, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. You see, God marks those who are His. He marks those who are His, and He does that by sealing them with the Holy Spirit. And this idea of sealing is one that is familiar to us. It's a sign of, a seal is a sign of authenticity. It's a sign of ownership. Sometimes instead of the word seal, we might use the word logo or brand. You know, when you see a certain logo or brand name, you know what you're getting, right? We know all brands are not created equal, right? So there's some that are more well-made than others. And so Paul's telling us that the Spirit is God's seal or logo or brand. He marks those who are His. He gives them what they need through the Spirit of God to persevere in the faith. He also tells us that the Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Now, we don't use that word often, but we use a phrase that's similar, and that is a down payment. A guarantee, instead of saying guarantee, we can think of it as a down payment. And so when you make a down payment on something, you are promising to pay the remainder of the amount, right? Think about putting a down payment on a house or a down payment on a car. You're telling the lender, I'm going to pay the rest of this off, or the company that you're buying it from. I'm going to pay the rest of this off, so here's a lump sum at the beginning as a promise, as a pledge that I'm going to finish the job. And so God gives His people, those who are in Christ, the Spirit of God. So when you place your faith in Christ, God seals you with the Spirit. And what this does is that He's saying, I am going to complete what I have begun in you. In other words, you have not experienced the fullness of your salvation yet. And you won't experience the fullness of it until Christ returns in its fullness. But in the meantime, God is going to give you what you need to persevere in the faith until Christ returns. And what He does to seal you and give you that enablement is by giving you His Spirit as a down payment. And so this assurance of the working of God is what prompts Paul to bless God with praise. You know, he's just thinking back on how God chose him before the foundation of the world and redeemed him through the Son and sealed him with the Spirit, and he overflows with praise. And so this relationship with God that has been made available to us through Christ should cause us to be a very thankful people. And as I was thinking back to that story of Michaela, I was wondering, do you think there would ever be a time when Michaela would think back to when she was 4 years old and she made that transition from orphanage to family with this couple from New Jersey? You think there would ever be a time when she would look back at that and not be thankful? I mean, I doubt it. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I doubt it. And I wonder, will there ever be a time when you and I look back and reflect on what God has done for us in Christ and not be thankful? I hope not. Let us pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Lord, we know who you are partly because of what you've done. Lord, we know that you have initiated our salvation. You came to us before we came to you. You have done all that's necessary for us to know you through Christ. You have given us what we need through your Spirit to persevere until Christ comes again. But we are so thankful for all the blessings that you have blessed us with in Christ. Lord, we also confess that we're not always a thankful people. We don't always bless you with praise because of what you've done. But this morning we are blessing you with praise, Lord. We thank you for what you have done for us. And Lord, we pray for anybody here who has not tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We pray that you would continue to pursue them and draw them to yourself. And we pray for those of us who do know you, Lord, that you would just continue to ingrain in our heart a spirit of thankfulness. And that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.